Good morning, everyone. All right. Well, it's I know everyone's comfortable, but can you stand with me, please? And we're just going to look at one portion of Scripture in John chapter 13. And just a brief moment, just look at this thought, which is really amazing. John chapter 13, we're going to read verses 33 through 35. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Father, thank you this morning for your word. It is forever settled in heaven. We think of our pastor this morning. Pray that you will continually minister to him, minister through him, Pastor Barry, your time in Budapest, the churches there, the edification of the body of Christ. Bring them back in your plan, in your season, and this morning, Lord, just bless this introduction as you've already anointed this morning and the portion to follow. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's amazing. I love Wednesday night service. When Andrew spoke about this idea of there's a difference being around and the difference being with, right? And think of this verse, you know, it's like in Acts 4:13. So they notice something. So you have, this is the background. We know that Peter is standing up, disciples, and he's preaching. You know, and it says they took notice that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But that's not why they had marveled. They did not marvel what they knew about them, but they marveled what they were hearing from them. And they said this statement. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. And that changes everything. Like if we look at John 13, like yes, God loves us. Yes, we love God. That's usually settled. But when God says, love one another, then sometimes we're like, okay. That's when it takes on a whole new perspective. Because as natural and thinking the natural mind, we have barriers to love. We have limitations of love. We have a memory that may say to us, don't love. Stop right there. But when we're with Jesus, this is the thing. When someone takes notice that we've been with Christ, it changes everything. Because just, and he said this, love one another as I have loved you. That's the key word. It's the word as. It's not two separate statements. It's not love one another. Okay, I love you. Now in your own strength, love one another. It's not that. That is not what God is talking about. There is a connection between the two. The same love that God loves me, I receive it, I fellowship with it, and that's awesome. But it's not done there. The purpose of the love of God is not just I would receive it and fellowship with it and just be like, you know, oh, this is good. Yeah, okay, I'm doing good. Yeah, God loves me. But it's to take the next step. Fellowshipping with that love, letting that love come in and wash and cleanse, give me a new frame of reference. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. We realize what the body and the blood of Christ has done personally in our lives, but also towards someone else, one another. That's how the world sees Christ. Because the world has its loves, right? People say, oh, I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll cross the deepest ocean. I'll traverse the highest plain for you. And you look at them, you're like, sure you will. Right? We know man's love is so limited. But the love of God. Because the love of God passes knowledge. And I was thinking about this. Like, this is the picture. And you think of it with me. God is in the middle. And God is love. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. And I can go around love. I can walk around God, and I'm around love. But there's another thing when I make a decision to get involved and let God love me. It's different. I know a lot of things about God. Yes, God, I know God so loved the world. Like you talk to people like, yeah, I know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when you make a decision to let love in, it changes everything. It changes everything. Because now I'm fellowshipping with God who loves me. Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Have you taken the time just to let that enter in? And think about how much God loves you. How far love is willing to go for you. That there is no boundary to the love of God. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do. Love will find a way to get in. And once it gets in, I'm changed. I'm set free. I have a new perspective for my life. And God's like, do you? I was like, yes, God, I love being when you love me. And allow that same love. You know, you remember the booklet? Just let God love you. We say, amen, hallelujah. We raise our hand. And God says, just let my love work through you. Do I have to? No, you don't have to. But that's the only way you can experience the full love of God. When it goes out of you towards someone who you would think doesn't deserve it. And we see that, and this is there's an amazing little book. It's called The Book of Philemon. And this is such a precious book. Why? Because it's the practical working out of love to a brother. There's Paul, who's writing to Philemon, and there's a man whose name is Onesimus. He's a slave. He did something wrong. And I love that story last week Pastor Schaller talked about with that family, the mother, the son, and the daughter, and the $10,000 that came in, and everyone had plans. And the son says, hey, my friend and I, we can double this, we can make it work. And the mother, in her better judgment, still gives the money away. And what happens? The friend takes it, runs away. And the sister begins to berate her brother. And the mother's like, you need to love. She's like, there's nothing left to love. You remember that statement? And what did the mom say? There's always something to love. That's the outworking of John 13. Love one another as I have loved you. And in the book of Philemon, this is amazing because Paul says to Philemon, he says this, verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And now he begins to speak about verse 9. Yet for love's sake. I just stopped right there. And you start thinking about that. For love's sake. Not for my sake. Not for your sake. For love's sake. behold what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called sons of God. For love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past, verse 11, was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. That's the thing. Like in our minds, we know something about someone that has made them unprofitable. And God says, the love of God passes what I understand about that person. It goes beyond. It doesn't consider what has happened. It considers the cross and what's been done. That's the love of God. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that's why it still marvels us. How could God go so far? And then we say, well, God, I have a hard time just getting out of my seat, much less going across the street to my neighbor, much less someone who's offended me. But we see here, I love this, verse 15 in Philemon. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. That's love talk. That's how the love of God communicates. Small season, yes, offense. But when love is received and fellowshipped with, and letting the love of God get in and working in, it's eternal values. It's outworking his eternal values. That's the love of God. And this is amazing. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, not just a brother, but listen to this, a brother beloved. It's a different category. This is what I love about the love of God. This is love about the word of God. It's not subjective. I think about it like, well, how do I feel? What am I benefit? But it's very objective. It keeps the focus on Christ. In my life, I want to keep the focus on Christ. And as I receive the love of God, and love works through me, and then love works out of me, it's the same love. You know that song we say? The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us by name. It goes beyond. It's calling. It's reaching. It's penetrating. Whether it's the city, whether it's the county, whether it's the nation, whether it's the world, it's the love of God. John 3:16, for love, God so loved, he gave. That love keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And in closing, look at this. Verse 21. This is how practically the summation of how Paul is speaking to Philemon. I have confidence in your obedience. It's a new commandment. It's not a commandment of the flesh. But in Ezekiel 36, 26, it's a new heart. It's a new spirit. It's heard differently. It's received differently. It's poured out differently. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. The natural mind stops at, what do you want me to do? I'm going to do it, that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But the love of God towards my brother, towards my sister, towards the lost, towards my enemies, goes above what someone says, way beyond. There is no limit. It's the love of God. And this is why we love it, because we see the love of God reaching deep into lives, transforming lives. reconciling situations and circumstances that the natural mind can never touch. But when you let love in, when you let the love of God in, it goes above and beyond what you can ask or think. And this is what I love about us, is like, this is your life. For decades, we hear, we've come, we've heard, we fellowship, and we've gone around the world. There are GGWO churches around the world today. Why? Because love just didn't stay here. Love went beyond. Beyond circumstances, situations, feelings, emotions, finances. It's the love of God. You can't contain it, but you can receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for your love. Behold, what manner of love that we have, that we should be called the sons of God. But thank you, Lord, that that love goes to one another. It's not compartmentalized or only this area, but no, it touches every area of our life, our families, our jobs, our neighborhoods. It just converts us and transforms us. And this is how the world sees the love of God in action. Father, we think about this morning our giving. Love gives. We think of the offering. We think of the opportunity. We think about your great love for us. And Lord, we give. Why do we give? Because we're set free. We're not subjective. It's not about me. It's not about what I can get. No, Lord, it's about you. And it goes beyond and it goes above. So online, give this morning. Let God love you and then let God motivate you to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great message, Pastor Eugene. We really enjoyed being little children waiting a little while, and just that whole, the whole letter of Philemon, which is kind of interesting. It seems like that letter, from what I understand, that letter was something that the slave who was saved kept with himself. And that slave, according to history, became one of the leaders in Ephesus at one point. So the slave ran away, the slave got saved, the slave was reconciled to his earthly master and became also a leader in the church. And it's, you know, he probably was a courier of some sort, some of these letters that Paul wrote. We have several of them, but Paul apparently did a lot of dictating and a lot of writing. So it's amazing. Just a little piece of information for you there. All right, let's go to John 13. Me and Pastor Eugene did pray about this, like it's a day at the table for communion. Tomorrow, I believe, is Yom Kippur. I think you know that if you have Jewish friends. Tomorrow is the Day of Atonement. And we thought about speaking from this chapter about that. And that the point, I'm going to go to the front of the chapter. He talked about here, little children, a little while. And that's the way that we are. We are little children, and we just hope that it's just a little while that Jesus comes back. And then just this idea of love and what love is. It says here, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And now this is the key part here. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So let's just pray here. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the breadth and height and depth, Lord, of your love, Lord Jesus, all the way to the end. We thank you, Jesus, for that and what love does in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to speak about this, like, what does it mean to love us to the end? And also, this one command, the one rule of life that Jesus did give us there as little children, waiting for him to come back, love one another. And then also the order of a different priesthood, This is, we know, if we go to Hebrews chapter 7, there's a quote here. This is verse 17, is it? I believe it is 17. 15. Let's start in 15. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude or the order of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, Psalm 110, verse 4 is quoted here, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So a little bit of theology here. The priesthood, we have a couple of understandings about the priesthoods that are in our Bible. In Exodus, we have a priesthood that is established through the line of Moses and Aaron. This is from the tribe of Levi. So we have a priesthood there. And when you read that end part of Exodus into Leviticus, you'll notice something. You notice that the people were asked to give, to contribute, to bring fabric and gold and silver and precious stones and other things, and to use their skill. People with skill fashioned the tabernacle, and then people with skill also made the garments for the priests that were selected to serve in the tabernacle. That's the order of that priesthood established after the people of Israel were led out of Egypt, delivered from Egypt. God gave Moses commandments, the Ten Commandments. There is no one before, you know, Cedric emphasized that. Commandment number one, have no gods before him. There's no one before him. That commandment, and then also all of the instructions related to the tabernacle, the worship center for the people, and then also for the priests who would serve in that tabernacle. But we know that Jesus Christ is of a different order. And when I read this passage, and I read on, like, I'm thinking about something when it says, he loved them to the end. Now let's go on to the next part. Supper being ended, and the devil having now entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was to come from God and went to God, he rises. Here we go. This is the point. He rises, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, think about the feet that Jesus is stooping before. We know Jesus will make all the enemies of this earth his footstool, but here we see these disciples sitting around a table and Jesus coming to their feet, washing them. He loved them to the end. Who was in that group? There was a denier, Peter. And when Jesus went to wash his feet, Peter was saying, this is just not right. You should not do this. But there was also a traitor and a betrayer also in that group. And Jesus loved Judas until his end. When we think of the priesthood of Melchizedek, if we go back into Genesis, Genesis 14 tells us the story. And where does this priest show up from? He just shows up. He's coming to meet. This is the difference in the order of the priesthood of Exodus that's defined there, and the priesthood that Jesus Christ brings to us, a different priesthood. It says in, I think it's Luke 3:6, all men shall see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus loves everyone to the end. He gives everyone an opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good. Judas here is seeing just how good Jesus is. He's going to do dirty work with clean feet. Jesus is going to wash his feet, even though moments later, moments or maybe within the hour or an hour and a half, he will go out from Jesus and he will begin this process of turning Christ over to the Roman authorities to go to the cross. It's amazing, but Jesus loved him till he could not love him anymore in this way. When you go to Genesis 14, I was going there for a moment, when we see that Abraham is coming back from a victory. He led a great team of 318. The details are there. You can read it. A great team of people, and he rescued those people from Sodom. The kings of Sodom and his nephew Lot had been captured in a warfare. And when Abraham heard about it, he said, I got to go help. And he did help. He rescued all the people that had been taken captive, and he brought the king of Sodom back to his place. You know, it was a short-lived kingdom for the kingdom of Sodom. We know that that was going to be burned to the ground sooner or later. But when I think about it, when you think of Jesus' loving beginning from top to bottom, Abraham's coming back from a moment of victory. And now here's the order. In the other priesthood, the people are coming and they are giving. In this priesthood, the priesthood that comes from above, Jesus Christ brings the table. Jesus Christ brings the bread. Jesus Christ brings the wine. Abraham met Melchizedek. He met him and he had a table prepared for him. This is the way of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It's a different priesthood. It's a priesthood that meets us right where we are. It's a priesthood that loves us even when we are enemies of him, and he loves us to the very end. To the very end. I don't think this is written. I think this is written by John the Apostle in this certain way. Jesus loved them to the end, even this one who would betray him. And we see it that Jesus, later in this very chapter, Jesus will give Judas a piece of bread and tell him to go do what you must do, go do it quickly. And Judas would go out and it would be night. And I think that this is something to think about, is just like, how far will Jesus love? How much, why is his order so different from any other order on the earth? Because when we read the verses that Pastor Eugene led you into, we see that Jesus said that love one another, and as I have loved you, you love one another. By this shall all men that are know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. So the order of Jesus's priesthood was not that we would bring ourselves to a level to be loved. It was that he would love us first, that he would meet us, that he would clean the feet of someone who was ready to betray him, that he would clean the feet of someone who was going to deny him. When we think about that table, it's just so interesting. What were those people thinking as they watched him wash their feet? You know, just think about the hands that would pass the cup, the hands that would break the bread, the hands that would also receive the nails. These hands, just think about it. Maybe you get a little squeamish about this, because you know where your feet have been. But your feet generally, for the most part, and I'm looking here, most people have shoes today. Generally, you've been walking in shoes. And there's a verse for that, right? Isn't there a verse in Song of Solomon, how beautiful are your feet in shoes? Is that in Song of Solomon? I can be corrected. How beautiful are your feet in shoes? It's why people have so many shoes. you know. Yeah. I know that ladies have a lot of shoes, but I know men. I got to know a couple of guys who have a lot of shoes. And anyway, I have a lot of shoes, actually. I should get rid of some of them. Some of them are just, I just don't wear anymore. But when we think about the hands, you can imagine the hands of Jesus just taking those feet into his hands, taking feet, who knows where they've been? Who knows where they've been in a Middle Eastern society? Dusty roads, animals. What kind of things did those guys step in? Yes, we know that. We know that this was like, but Jesus cleaned these feet. They ate supper and then they went and they got their feet cleaned, you know? I'm sure they washed their hands before they ate supper. I'm thinking that probably did happen. Maybe they didn't. You know, we know that that was like an issue for the Pharisees, that you really don't wash your hands when you eat supper, you know? You know, not only is that against the law, it's kind of unsanitary. But we know that those feet got washed before they did anything else. And I think this is the way we have to see. Like, Jesus is not asking us to reach a potential, to look at our potential and try and accomplish something in and of ourselves. And those disciples, he wasn't asking those disciples to clean their own feet. He's saying, let me clean your feet. He didn't even ask permission. He just took up his robe, took up the robe of a servant, took up the basin, took the towel, started to wash their feet and get them prepared for what they were going to do. This is what God has asked us to be. In my order, Jesus is saying, I have come from above to meet you where you are. I bring the table. You don't have to set the table. This supper, Jesus said, follow somebody. The disciple, where are we going to have the Passover? You meet a guy in the street, follow him, go upstairs. There'll be a place prepared for you. It's like, this is the method of God. He's not saying, I'm not asking you to produce something in your own ability. I'm asking you to love one another. How? As I have loved you. Love one another. What a phrase. There's one rule I'm giving you. And if you let the Holy Spirit do this in your heart, if you understand that I have come this way. I have met you where you are. Abraham came as a victor. Here at this table, being loved to the end, we see someone who's going to sink into defeat. One sinks into defeat as a denier, and one sinks into defeat as a betrayer and a rejecter. And I'm just thinking, that's just like God loves from the bottom to the top. And from the top, maybe it's more accurate to say God loves from the top to the bottom. He's like, when we're in victory and when we're on the edge of defeat, there is Jesus ready to meet us. That's the order of his priesthood. His priesthood is not about trying to make us better people. His priesthood is about saving us to the uttermost. And if you read all the way through book of Hebrews, we see so many places where Jesus offered himself once, and he offered himself for all of us and for all of our sins, for all of our iniquities, for all of our transgressions, everything about who we are and what we are now and what we're supposed to be. Jesus Christ offered himself. We didn't have to make it happen. He did. That's the order of things. You don't have to live by that order. You just have to meet him at his table. And when he prepares the table, there's always a place. And there's another part of this too, the expectation that we have that he has gone before us to prepare a place for us. And if he has said that he would do this, can't we trust in his promise? If he's low enough to wash our feet, if he can do something like that and bring him, because we would like, wash feet? How many here have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know that. We don't really want to know that. But I mean, you know, I've been at least once in my life, I was at a foot washing service and some guy said, go, you know, it'll do something for your spiritual life if you wash somebody's feet. And I'm saying, I don't know if I did. I don't remember if I did it or not. I don't think I did. I think I was like, I don't know about this. I was only saved a couple of months. And I was like, I think I'm good with that. But spiritually speaking, it's like forgiving and forgiving 70 times 7 in one day. Forgiving, this is the way. How has God loved us? He has met us. He has met us right where we are. He has healed us. He's loving us to the end. And he is showing us that if you love as I love you, if you love one another as I love you, there is no more powerful method of reaching people. There are lost people that need to see the love that we have among one another. They need to taste the salt that we are. We are the salt of the earth. They need to taste the salt, and they need to see the light. And really, if we can understand the way that God came to us and loves us, then, just like Pastor Eugene mentioned in Philemon, is like then there's something amazing that happens. Something amazing can happen when someone is loved. Like this runaway slave was loved, everything is different. We enter into a different category, and Jesus meets us where we are, just as he met Abraham, just as he washed the feet of these disciples at the table. This is the order of God. I have loved you. This is the commandment I'm asking you to live by. I have loved you. As I have loved you, love one another. There's no other rule. You follow this rule, and everything will be well. People will look in and say, how can people love like that? How can it happen? They get that taste of salt. They see that glimpse of light. And they say, I would like to be a part of that. I would really like to be a part of that. And it's not up to us to make it happen. God makes it happen. Jesus will set the table. Jesus will leave a place at the table. And people will come to the table because the love that we show among ourselves that comes from him and not of our own works. It's a gift of God. It's amazing. So just thinking now as we conclude, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Maybe there's someone who's never realized that God loves you to the end, that God loves you right where you are. You're on the very edge of collapse. Maybe you're watching on the internet right now. You're on the very edge of collapse. You don't understand. Well, Jesus came a different way. He's the kind of priest that washes feet and serves you up a great meal. He'll give you his life right now. Do you want it? Do you want the life that he has for you? It's a simple question. You could say, yes, I want the life that you have for me. I feel the love that you have for me. I want to be loved like this. And I want to love other people with the love that you're giving me right now. Just pray that prayer. You love me, Jesus. I'm hearing this. You love me. I want to be loved. Love me. I want to just let you love me and be one of your people. Let me, I just want to do that right now. Just pray that prayer. Allow God to love you, be loved, and then start loving one another. It's amazing. It's the great commandment. It's the order of Jesus coming to seek and to save us. And Lord, anyone in here who's praying that prayer, anyone on the internet praying that prayer, we just believe that God is touching your heart, giving you great grace, giving you a new life, a new heart. You needed a new heart. He's giving you one. Yes. Anyone in this audience doing that, you could raise your hand. We'll have something for you. Anyone? Right, Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Lord, that you wash or help us to wash each other's feet, to follow the way of the Master and forgive and forgive and forgive again. Show mercy. Let mercy always rejoice against our tendency to judge and seek vengeance, Lord. We thank you that you came from the glory, Lord, to lead us, Lord. Thank you for that order that you followed to give your life for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.